I love the vision of this fellowship. I love the idea here that we just want, and we put it on stuff. It's written everywhere. In fact, it's really cool looking when you see it in print, see the little logos that go with it. But igniting change. Doesn't that sound good? Just a little fire, a little, you know, maybe some of you need a little jolt. I didn't say tasing, not a big jolt, but a little jolt, a little something to ignite change in the hundreds. Who can then and will then ignite change in the thousands? Because if the thousands do the same thing that they've received from the hundreds, now we're into the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. Really, we're just multiplying exponentially. And I think somehow that's kind of what discipleship is supposed to be about. But we're ultimately committed here at this fellowship, your leadership team and you by default and partnership are committed to guiding whole communities and inspiring whole communities that to the idea that they can move from wherever they are into the nothing is impossible life. That's pretty huge. You know, from wherever they are, whatever limitations they find themselves in, God is calling them to move. You are wanting to help them to move. You are saying that by partnering with Bethel Fort Worth, we will help you move from there into the nothing is impossible life. Whoop, whoop. Come on, you can do better than that. For those who were in the seminar, that they understand that. It was really cute. The worship team get up here and, you know, typical Holy Ghost worship and Assemblies of God history says, whoa, glory. But sis over here goes, whoop, whoop. That's just beautiful. Well, I am just in love with this fellowship. I am thankful for the opportunity. And I want to get right to sharing the word of the Lord. Before the seminar actually began, the Lord dropped the word into my heart to share with you. And I'm really just so excited about it because, not because it's me, not because I get a chance to teach it or preach it, but because of the nature of the story, because of the timing of it, because of the not just the message of it and the ministry of it, but the truth that it was to somebody personally. And because it was the truth to somebody personally in Jesus' day and time, then we can believe that it could be the truth for us today. Because everything that happened to them happened as an example, as an encouragement, as a living illustration, as a something that says, look, if I'm going to do it for these folks in this setting, then why wouldn't you believe? Why couldn't you believe? Why don't you actually believe and move into this thing? And so that's what it is. And I just want to share that with you. I love the Bible. I love the Lord. I love you. And so I pray, God, help us today. Help us. Help us. Help us. Help us. Oh, Lord Jesus, without you, everything that we do would just be vanity and silly foolishness. Might make us feel comfortable because we understand it and we can predict it. But oh God, these are precious people. This is a moment in time that you've designated and planned for. This is an opportunity that you want to just draw each of us into a closer, living, powerful, vital relationship with you. And so I pray, God, help us, help me, and help every me in this place. Help everyone who says that in their own heart, oh God, help me to have my heart opened and my spirit opened and my eyes opened and everything about my understanding opened to that I might in fact be one of those community members who begin to move into the nothing is impossible life. Grant that for us today, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to share with you today the subject, the title of the message is On the Way to a Miracle. How many of you believe that God still does miracles? Well, that's happy news. What happened to the rest of you? It would be a miracle if I raised my hand. Well, let's try it again then. How many of you believe God still does miracles? Really, the resurrection is a miracle. The fact that Jesus is alive, that darkness does tremble, that he is risen from the grave. In fact, that's why he empowers people with the Holy Spirit. That's why Pentecostal lifestyle and Holy Spirit-empowered living is important. It is by itself a verification that Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. He's conquered death and hell and the grave and sin and Satan and selfishness forever. Amen. Amen. And he is just giving stuff away. And in fact, I think I've read this somewhere. Whosoever will may come. Aren't you happy that it doesn't say whosoever qualifies? Whosoever is deadly serious. Whosoever is going to do the right thing all the time. Whosoever is going to respond without getting goofy. It just says whosoever will. And that's the beauty of it. You just have to have what we called it this in the seminar. Somebody called it this. We have to have a want to. That's a Texas thing. You got to have yourself a want to. In Carolina, they call it fixin'. You got to be fixing to do something. You got to be ready to move into this. And I love the Bible. I love the heroes of the scripture. I read the lives of Joseph and David and Moses and James and John and Anna and Simeon and, even people, the obscure ones like Sosipater. There's one you'll have to look up. Some of you go, who's that? Look for Paul's entourage and you'll find a guy named Sosipater. But every now and then you encounter these nameless, faceless people. You encounter these folks in the scripture that they just kind of breeze through the life of Christ, and then the quickness of the journey and their touch in the Lord is of such a nature that we don't even get their names. And so we identify them by their story. Have you ever seen some of these? There's the little children who come to the Lord. It doesn't say who they were. Nobody gives. Now you've got to know their parents know their names. The kids know their names. Jesus probably knows their names. And if Jesus doesn't know their names, they pretty much tell him, hey, Jesus, I'm Pete. I'm Romulus. I'm Remus. Whatever it is, I'm coming. And they have names. There's the leper from Matthew chapter 8 who says, if you will, you can make me clean. And he does. He makes him clean. And so this amazing miracle story. But here's the reality. We don't know the guy's name. In Luke 7, there's the record of a sinful woman who comes and just is broken by the availability to touch the Lord and to be near him, and weeping and crying, she muddies up his feet, and then she just dries off the mud with her hair. She looks a mess in 50 ways, and every proper Pharisee condemns her rightfully and religiously, but the Lord blesses her and says she's just receiving so much grace and goodness. And she's responding to it. We don't know her name. I would love to know this gal. I would love to interview her. The feeding of the 5,000. You remember the story of the feeding of the 5,000? I've read the story before. It's a great story. Do you know there's a little hero person in that story that we don't know their name. We just know they're probably a fat little kid. I don't mean that in a bad way. Probably a chubby, husky kid. I mean, he brought 5 loaves and 2 fish. For lunch. You got to know, he didn't bring 5 loaves and 2 fish for 5,000 people. He brought it for me, for my lunch. That's why I just suppose he's a husky little dude. But he's the beautiful kid that they, he offered up his lunch. Get that? He offered what he had for Jesus. So can we pause for just a sec? Because I really believe in the moving of the Spirit of God and how he touches us and how words from the Lord just pierce our souls. He's not asking you to bring what you don't have or be somebody that you're not. You do what you can. You are who you are. You get that? You don't run from it. You don't get better from it. You don't get cured first and then come to Jesus. You come to Jesus and then you get cured. Amen. You come to him and you find out, this is the answer. This is the hope. This is the joy. Well, there are all these wonderful, nameless, faceless people. And my heroine, the woman of choice in this story, is one of those people. I call her good old what's her name, because I don't know her name. But I love her story. She only gets 10 verses in the entire scripture, but those 10 verses, I think, are just filled with meaning. And I think in this meaning and in this story and in this journey, there's something that the Lord wants to speak to us about in our story and in our journey. And so, if you don't mind, I'll tell you what happened on the way to a miracle. Mark chapter 5 is where you want to turn. I think it says in there verses 21 to 34. It actually is 21 to 34. It's even more than that. It starts at 21 for the simple reason that Jesus, it says in verse 21, I'll just read this to you, had crossed again in the boat to the other side. Now, he's just been into a region where he's delivered somebody from this massive demonic bondage, this historic miracle, this national miracle, if you will, for this country has taken place, and he's left this healed, delivered legend behind to do ministry among the 10 cities of the Decapolis. And so it is on the heels of this that he gets back on the boat and comes back to the other side. If you've ever been in Israel, you would realize that the Sea of Galilee that they travel back and forth on is like a giant pond. It's not huge, massive. It's not like Lake Michigan or Superior or even Erie or Huron. It's much smaller than all of that. And everywhere you are, the cool thing about a lake like this is everywhere you are, when you look, there's the other side. You get that? And so when you're going to get in the boat and you're going to go to the next place, you're going to, there you got it. So he gets on the boat, he goes to the other side from where he had been, and a large crowd of people gathered around him, so he stayed by the seashore. While he is by the seashore and people are crowding around. Now remember, you know this about the ministry of Jesus, that pretty much everywhere he went, because of the miraculous enablement and the power of God, because he was Holy Spirit empowered to do signs and wonders, to declare a living, loving, active, involved God, to not just declare, but demonstrate. Being a little quiet here. I just want to make sure you understand it. Because of this, crowds just followed him everywhere. He didn't have a great advertising program. He didn't have cool internet slogans. He didn't have nifty PR people who did all that stuff. He didn't blog. I think we should use all that stuff in our modern times, but he didn't have availability of any of those kind of things. And yet, tens of thousands of people would find out where he was going to be, and they would rush to be near there because they just wanted to be near him. They wanted to hear him. They wanted to see him. And whether it was faith, love, devotion, or curiosity, I can't tell you. I can just tell you that when he got off the boat, there was already a crowd of people who were there. Can you see him? Somebody's going, hey, that's the boat Jesus is in. Let's get close. Where's it going to land? Ooh, let's all be there. If you don't believe they do that, watch what they do. Watch what the paparazzi and the celebrities and the stars of our day and what happens when someone's around. You'll probably find yourself going, ooh, I get to see Tom Cruise, and running over there. So Jesus is not Tom Cruise, thank God. So this crowd is gathered around him, and in the middle of the crowd, here is this one that's identified in chapter 5, verse 22. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up, and on seeing him, he fell at Jesus' feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live. Now, this is the miracle. This is a big miracle. In fact, he does. By the time he gets there, when you know the rest of the story, the girl has already passed away. And he is enabled of the Father to raise this girl from the dead. Powerful, amazing, exciting miracle. That's a part of this story. And that's probably the lead miracle in Mark chapter 5. Except for good old what's-her-name, who inserts herself. She doesn't get her own special trip and day. She, in fact, just invades on the way to a miracle. It is as he went off with him. So he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing into him. And there she is. Here she is, good old what's her name, a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years, an issue of blood, it says. And we don't know whether that's female related or whether that's actually growth related or whatever hemorrhaging condition. The reality is that for 12 years, this woman has been bleeding in a non-normal way. And for 12 continuous years, you can't even imagine. Can you imagine how much that would take out of you, the strength, the energy, the stuff that would do to you if you were literally losing the energy that your blood provides for your muscles every moment of every day for 12 years? That's who she is. She had endured much at the hands of many physicians. She wasn't taking it laying down. She had spent all that she had. She had given all her money. She had given all her time. She had given all. She toughed it out, went to doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor. And how many of you are still sad that they're all just practicing medicine? They haven't quite gotten it right yet. Still practicing. I want to know when you're ready. You know, when the real show arrives, call me. I'll send some friends. She'd endured much, she had spent all that she had, and she was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. But after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. I'm starting to like good old what's-her-name. It's not a physician. Yes, it is. This is the great physician. He doesn't have to proffer a cure and make you follow the rules. You just have to touch him. She said to herself, I'll just touch him, I'll get well. So immediately, the flow of her blood, because apparently she did it. She came in the crowd behind him. She reached through. She touched the hem of her garment. And immediately, the flow of her blood was dried up. This is a woman who had this chronic condition for 12 years in her life. Honey, when it happens, nobody has to tell you that this has happened. Nobody has to convince you this is a miracle. You know in your body, you know in your being that this is a touch from God. Nobody else knows. Nobody else in the crowd knows. She sneaked in. I'll tell you why in a few minutes, but she had to sneak her way in. She touched the hem of his garment. Boom! She is made whole, and she knows it. She feels it immediately. The flow of her blood dries up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction, and she would have just drifted away. She came in unknown and would have drifted away unknown. We still don't know. Good old what's-her-name. Except that Jesus said, ho, stop. Whoa. Hold on now. Who touched me? It's a great question. The disciples said, duh. Take your pick. Everybody's bumping. We're all jostling. We're toughing it out. How many of you think that the disciples probably thought their business was to protect Jesus from all of the ne'er-do-wells that might want to touch him? If you're going to get to Jesus, it's like they're the bodyguard. You got to go through us. And this is what they said. He perceived in himself the power had gone from him, and he said, so who touched my garments? And the disciples said, you see the crowd pressing in on you, and you're saying, who touched me? And here's what it says in verse number 32. He looked around to see the woman who had done this. That phrase is pretty poorly translated. He searched is the intent of the scripture. He searched. He said, absolutely, I'm not moving another step until I meet you. Because you may not be known by anything but your disease, but I know you by your faith. I know you because you touched me in a way where power flowed to you. And she says, she trembling is what it says here. Fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her. Not ashamed, but aware. Came and she fell down before the Lord Jesus and told him the whole truth. Doesn't tell you what the whole story was, but this is her version of where she'd been and why she came and what had happened. You know, when you've been bleeding like that for that many years, probably nothing on the outside just declares that about you. And so when you're healed of it, there's probably just nothing on the outside that declares of it. But she knew, and he knew. It's beautiful. So she tells him her version of everything that's happened. And I love this. He says to her, "Daughter, daughter, hey, I don't know your name, but I'll tell you the truth, sweetie, name doesn't matter. From now on, just call yourself my child, my daughter, my beloved daughter. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Come on, you can give the Lord a hand. I think you want to. You want to give him praise for that. I do too. I just think this story is amazing. I just think the miracle is absolutely amazing. I think there are so many things about it that deserve more time than we have today. But can I pick a few out to just talk to you about? The first is the past. The past. Everybody has one. If you're here without a past, something happened to you. Maybe you're afflicted with one of those things of short-term memory, where you just remember every morning when you wake up, it's the new day. You have to find out who you are. But the most of us don't have to do that. We've had people telling us for years who we are. We've had some encouraging us for years that we're all of that in a bag of chips. How many of you think it's just pretty silly? Remember the days when American Idol was first out and they started doing this, and people would bring their kids in and say, "My child is the best singer in the world." And then they would get up and go, "Oh," and you're going, "What kind of parents are these? They're at least tone deaf. Oh, you can do it. You're everything. That's not always true. But neither is the you're nothing, which is really far too prevalent. You're stupid. You're too old. You're too young. You're too large. You're too small. You're too rich. You're too poor. You're divorced. You're broken. You're this. Come on, whatever it is. You're in the uncategory. Welcome to her world. Good old what's-her-name was in the uncategory. She was unwell. She was pretty much loved, probably. She was unacceptable to most people. In fact, the law was of such a nature that her bleeding disease caused her to be unclean. By the biblical laws, by the scriptural rules and regulations of Judaism, she wasn't able to not just go to the temple, she wasn't able to touch people. She wasn't technically able to push through the crowd and touch Jesus. Why? Because the law said everything that's unclean defiles everything that it touches. This was her world, the unworld. It was a world full of frustrations. And I say that because I think, you know, you got a past. Come on. It's okay. I'm not going to pick on you. Even if I knew it, I wouldn't put it out there and put it on the screen and tell everybody about it. But I promise you, most of the poor and lousy information that we get comes from the devil. It comes from the liar. It comes from the accuser. It doesn't come from the Lord. It's not a product that brings faith. It's a product that brings frustration. And so that was her story. She was unclean. She was unwell. And she didn't want to stay that way. And so she was unwealthy anymore. She was unable to have a future. She was unsure about where her next meal would come from. Why? Because she'd spent everything she had to try to get better, to try to not be un anymore. I'm not taking that land down. I'm going to fight. I'm going to pay. I'm going to serve. I'm going to work. And I believe that some of you probably. I'm doing the work, oh God. I'm doing the work. Have you ever, well, you don't have to have seen the movie Baby Steps. The movie, what's it called? It's a Bill Murray movie. It doesn't matter. It's about some guy that's crazy and he's got mental issues and things like that. And some, what about Bob? Thank you very much. See, some of you have seen the movie. I'm doing the work, baby steps. I'm stepping, I'm doing, you know, I'm trying. This is her. I'm doing all this. This is my past. But every bit of it just led her to more and more frustration. How many times do you go to the next doctor? Well, this is the one. This is the time. How many times? Some of you have come to altars in your history, said, surely this time, God, this time I'm going to, this time I mean, come on, this time. Some of you have been through marriages. This time, this is the one. You first time, remember the first time? Woo, this is the one. But what about the 15th time? You're saying, I don't know if I qualify for the one anymore. I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just trying to say everybody has a past. And she had a past laden with frustrations. But she also, in the middle of all of this, imagined the possibilities. Why? Because she heard about Jesus. So here's what it says. After hearing about Jesus, some bit of faith begins to rise up in her soul. She begins to believe. Do you know that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega of faith? He's the beginning and the ending of faith. If your faith is in something other than Jesus, and it starts with something other than who he is and what he has done and what he can and will do, then your faith is misplaced. It starts when you hear about Jesus and hearing about Jesus, hearing about the miracles. Maybe she'd even heard already about what had happened on the other side. But she just said to herself, ooh, if I could just touch him, if I can just get close enough to him to touch him, when I touch him, everything will change. So hearing, she believes certain things about the Lord, and then because she believes, she acts in a certain way. Now that's beautiful faith. Oh, if God wants to do it, he'll just make it happen. What? Whoever told you that? That's not true. If God says something and you believe it, then you act on it. Faith is a substance. It's a substantial. It's an activity-based thing. It's a get-up-and-go stuff. Yeah, naturally. I love my sister was listening through that whole time we spent together. She heard, she believed, she acted to seek to touch Jesus. Where is he available? He's right there by the seashore. He's in the big crowd. They're moving from the seashore to wherever Jairus' house is. And she comes, the press is what we call it. In fact, it says it in the scripture, she comes in the press behind. That's not like the press we have with the badges and the newscasters and all of that sort of thing. It's the pressure, if you will. It's this big crowd of people. It's this big mob that is pressing in on Jesus. Everybody trying to get close. Everybody who's already there. Everybody who staked out their territory. I'm just going to shove them out of the way. I'm going to push them out of the way. This is the press. And I have to tell you that this is also overcoming her fear. Her frustrations, her faith, her fear, these also match the idea of the past and the possibilities and the press. Because I told you about it before, her fear is that not just that it won't work, but I have to sort of go against the grain. She by law is required as a Jewish woman to scream out whenever anybody's coming nearby who's Jewish. She's supposed to yell, unclean, 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 which means what? Don't get near me. Because if you get near me, my bad stuff is going to get on you, and you're not going to be able to worship God in the temple. How many of you know the Jewish law enough to know that this is true? This is the reality. This is how it was. And so she just kind of goes, well, I can't explain it. I just believe it. I just got to go. But to go, I got to press through this stuff, these limitations, these fears in my life. I've got, what if this doesn't, well, there's the fears, you know, come on. This could be your day. This could be your time. This could be the moment. This could be the hour. God is breathing into you. Try one more time. Get up. Try one more time. Go one more time. Ask one more time. Believe one more time. Seek one more time. And then the enemy says, oh, but. Yeah, all the, you're unbeliever. I'm not going to be overcome by it. Why? Because perfect love drives out fear. Where's that perfect love? Oh, it's in her. Absolutely not. It is walking from the seashore to Jairus' house. It's Jesus himself. And she says, ooh, that touch, that perfect love, that something will just drive out all my fear. So why am I overcoming? Why am I pressing through? Why am I keeping on? Because of his perfect love. I hear the call of Christ. It's not just her need. It is the availability of God himself made flesh. And she goes, I got to touch him. And so she presses through. And I'm not sure she ever yells, unclean. I'm not sure the thousands of people that she pushes past and touches realize that they've been ceremonially defiled. Amen. I love her faith for a lot of reasons, but here's one of them. Can I give this to you? It's interesting to me, as part of a holiness movement, we still have some of these goofy Old Testament trappings on people's lives. Somehow we get the idea that we gotta be separate. Come out and be separate, says the Lord. It means that's what keeps us holy. That's what keeps us clean. We don't smoke. We don't chew. We don't go with girls who do. Sound off. 1, 2, sound off. 3, 4. Summons of God. Woo, woo. You know. That is what I said, sorry. Yeah. You'll have to get the podcast later. But really, that idea is an Old Testament concept. But that's the whole thing. She overrode that. She's the first person in all of the New Testament that is ever recorded as having understood that. Peter had no clue about it even. Paul had to withstand him to his face about some of this after the resurrection as a believer. But she said, you know what? I'm convinced that it's just the opposite. The unclean doesn't defile the clean. The truly clean has the power to cleanse the unclean. If I can touch him, it's not what I'm going to put on him. It is what is going to flow from him into me. Whoa, can you feel that? Seriously, this is her faith. This is her quest. This is her push. This is the press. This is why I'm going after him. And so what happens? Immediately. Nobody knows. Who's that? Well, who touched me? Who pushed me? My brother. Everybody's saying that except when Jesus says it. It's a whole different world. What he's saying is, right here, someone just got the prize. Ding, ding, ding. Someone just won the Chevy. Someone just hit bigger than the lotto. Really? Yeah. What are the words that the typical person would say when they hit the lottery? I'm rich. No, you're going to be tested. I can promise you that. I'm rich. But she could say, I'm healed. I'm well. I'm not, you know, I would have yelled unclean right now, that isn't true. I'm clean, I'm healed, I'm well, I'm excited. Now, maybe you don't think she was. I'm just thinking 12 years of that. And all of a sudden, when you absolutely know in your body, she knew it in her spirit, she knew it in her heart, she knew it in her soul, but now she knew it in her body. Woo! Woo! but I'm just going to drift away because he's on the way to a miracle. But he says, well, honey, you're also part of the miracle. Do you get that? This is the fulfillment for her. This is the final thing where she's identified and she's called to Christ. She's summoned to come before this master. It's not the crowd who's trying to push their way in. Now it is the master himself who's inviting her. Whoever that was that touched me, you know who you are. You know the power that has flowed to you. So do I. Please, come and identify yourself. It's good old what's her name? It's me. It's the first day of the rest of my life. I'm not even sure how to define myself. Because all that old stuff just doesn't matter anymore. Do you get that? Who are you? It doesn't matter who you are. It matters whose you are. Here's what he says, daughter, my child, my beloved. When you go your way, just know that it's your faith that's made you whole. Isn't that beautiful? It's a brand new day, sweetheart. Amen. Maybe he was from Bethel Church. Maybe he said, welcome to the nothing is impossible life. Now go ignite some change. Hey man, go fire somebody up. Go tell somebody all the things. Don't you think she did? Absolutely. Don't you think every time she came in contact with all the other people who had identified her for 12 years as unloved, unclean, unwanted, unwell, and when she came rolling in the doors looking well and healthy and full of life in the Spirit of Christ, they went, wait, we know you. And she said, you don't yet. You don't yet. You knew the old me. But this is who I am now. Why? Because of whose I am. I touched Jesus. Jesus touched me. Whew. We need music. Let's get music. Get our guys back up. Come on, come back up here. Let's get music. I'm pretty much done, but I'm done telling you the story. I don't think the Lord is done working in us. If you don't mind, can we just take a few minutes that remain in the meeting to just respond to the Spirit of the Lord? How many of you believe he's here? I mean, really, really, really believe it now. I mean, he's as really here as he was on the shore of Galilee. Not in his physical body, but by his spirit, but in the body of Christ. He is here. He is as here today as he's ever going to be. Nothing I could say or do, or you could say or do, will make him more here than he is. And he's alive and well, and he's active in the earth. How many of you think all power on heaven and earth is still his? Amen. And to whomever he wants to give it, he can and will. Amen. Amen. And it doesn't matter about your past. Well, you have one, so it does matter a little bit. But here's the thing. Are you going to be frustrated? Are you going to be stopped? Are you going to identify with all the unjunk of your history? Or are you going to hear the voice of the Lord and the whisper in your spirit? In the middle of your frustration, is faith going to birth itself, where the Lord says, would you just come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden? Touch me. You know what you're going to find? It's a beautiful thing. Rest to your soul. Seriously, peace that, here's another way to say it, peace that passes understanding. You who've wished you could be baptized with the Holy Spirit, I tried this, I tried that, I've been to this, I've been to that, I've been to the special person, blah, blah, blah. So you stopped. Why don't you press in? Touch Jesus. Those of you who just haven't been able to work that salvation thing out, that trust Christ thing out, maybe you're struggling with habits and bondages. Maybe you're struggling with relationships and issues. I don't want to say maybe. I know you are. There are people in this house that have those things. I don't want to just start listing them for the simple reason that if I don't list yours, then you think you have an out. And I don't want you to find an out. I want you to find an in. I want you to find a reason that makes you want to run, press through the crowd, fight your way through your fears to touch Jesus. Because he still makes the darkness tremble. Remember that song? I like that. He still makes the dark. He still conquers fear. He still does these things. He's still this one. And he's available to touch you. We used to sing an old song about how he touched me. Remember? Shackled by the heavy burden, all the other stuff. But when the hand of Jesus touched me, from that point, I'm just no longer the same. So could we just for a few moments stand all across the house right now, whatever they're singing, they're singing. But I want to ask you, if you want to just let the past behind, really, if you want today to be a brand new first day of the rest of my life, but a life lived not on the unside, but on the whoop, whoop side, on the look what God has done and is doing in my life. You'll have to be afraid of having to redefine everything. You'll have to take a whole new set of labels. That stupid label is just going to have to be gone. That unworthy label, black label, white label, smart label, rich label, poor label, whatever label. Really, unspiritual, addicted, in bondage, broken, wounded, angry, whatever the label, you're going to have to leave those behind. And I promise you, there's some stuff you're going to have to fight your way through. And it's not always the disciples, it's not always people, but there's some stuff you're going to have to push your way through. But let love draw you. Let love help you push your way through. For love's sake, hear the voice of the Spirit of God. It is though in her soul, good old what's her name heard, you can come to me. You can come to me. You can come to me. You'll find the answer.